Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Enjoyed the service thus far. Enjoyed your devotions for Richard. And the choices we make and how we view it, and even into the Sunday school lesson, all fits very well with the message, what I have prepared to share this morning. The first song that led after Sunday school is, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." We have a real blessing that we have a God that is here to save us and pick us up when we fall, if we choose to have Him do that. For a passage this morning, we're going to be turning to Ruth chapter 1. Fairly familiar passage. We're going to read a number of verses here. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. The Ephrathites of Bethlehem and Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name, the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women were left, and her two sons. The women were left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab about that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord dwelt kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, 'Surely we will return with thee unto thy people.' And Naomi said, 'Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are they yet any more sons in my womb, that ye may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay with them for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it giveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And she said, 'Behold, my sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law.' And Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. My people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught put to death part of me, thee and me. Message title this morning is Committed to the Body of Christ. Thinking about commitment, where does it start? But commitment, my first point is commitment begins with a choice. Just a week ago, we came through a week of revivals, and we talked about that this morning. And those here that made new commitments. And that was, we just heard about a few of them. I'm sure there's probably many of you in your hearts have made new, renewed commitments to our Lord and Savior. And as we listen to those commitments this morning from the young people, it's a blessing to see the church to continue to grow. Commitment begins with a choice. In verse 16, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or or return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go." She made a choice of whom she was going to identify with. She made a choice of the direction she wanted to go. She made a choice of whom she was going to serve. Ruth did not drift into faithfulness. She chose it. She did not choose covenant over convenience. She chose loyalty over comfort. And she chose God's people, even though there was no future, no earthly guarantee of reward. In the same way, belonging to a church, the body of Christ, it's a choice. Not just attending, not just showing up, but it's choosing to bind your life to the people of God. To the children here today, can I ask you a couple questions here? How many of you like to go kayaking? Any of you like to go kayaking? I think some of the adults probably even do. A few people scared to raise their hands a little bit. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I expect a response. Is when you paddle, does it matter how you paddle? I don't know if a few of you went paddling. Does it matter how you paddle? Maybe I'll pick on Bryce. Does it matter how you paddle? How do you, can I just roar on one side of the boat? Why?
Keep turning. You always keep turning.
Keep turning. Does that really matter?
You don't get it anymore.
Okay. So why would you want to go straight? It seems a little boring. You think of that in your life. When you're going down that stream. I know I enjoy going kayaking. We didn't go much at all this year, but you have to look ahead, and you have to make a choice of where you're headed. And you have to say, you know what, if I paddle on this side, I'm going to turn that way. If I'm paddling the other side, go there. It takes a deliberate choice, a commitment of where you're headed. And usually where we get out is the last stop before a little dam. And you have to make a choice there whether you're going to get out, if you're going to go down there and go over the dam. And it's known to have killed many of boater going over that if you're not careful. But as you come there, you had to make a choice. And you had to make a commitment that you're going to watch for that stop, because if you're missing that, you might be in trouble. And it's the same as in your life. You have to make a commitment, because there is an end coming. What are you going to do with it? You have to make a deliberate choice if you want to end up right. It takes a deliberate choice of heading. And you can expect to not end up, if you don't make a deliberate choice of your direction of travel, you can expect that you will end up in the rocks and the sticks along the river. No one is born into the kingdom. No one drifts into discipleship. Just as Ruth made a deliberate commitment, each Christian must choose. Your people will be my people. If you want to end up right, it takes a deliberate choice on your part of what kind of friends that you'll be associating with. When you think of the young children here, the young youth have made choices. What kind of friends will you associate you with? Which brings me to my next point. Commitment means identifying with people, God's people. Looking at Ruth, we see that her husband had died, and she was a widow. And back then, they did not have brotherhood assistance like they do nowadays, where they pick up the tab and help in the widows and whatever else. But instead, they expected the closest relative of the deceased husband to pick up the tab and support the widow. And this is why we see in the verse 8, it says, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return into the mother's house. The two daughters-in-laws grew up in Moab and did not know the land of Israel. Naomi told her two daughters-in-laws to stay there where they felt most comfortable, even though it would have been better for herself if they came along with her. But Ruth chose to be with the people of God. To those that are young and new in Christ, your friends, I would expect, are good godly friends. I expect your parents have been protecting you from having, would you say, bad friends. While you may not understand there's going to come a day that you will need to draw a line in the sand, as it were, of who you will and who you will not associate with. And while you may not just close those people out of the life, but you have to choose who you're going to associate on a daily basis because of their influences that rub on off on us. And you do that to protect your spirit within you. Self tells us that we can do it on our own. Just me and God. We can do it. Self tells us that we can remain strong and will not fall for the influences our friends bring us. Ruth chose to go with Naomi because she desired to be with the people of God. A place that brings accountability. A place to strengthen us when we are weak. A Christian without a church is like a hand without a body, disconnected, weak, and dying. I talked a little bit about the kayaking. I share a little story, what I found in kayaking. I'd say any more of a boys can handle the kayaks quite well, but when they were young and learning, I always tied an 8 or 10 foot rope behind every kayak. Some for my ease, because I was trying to manage 3 other kayaks more than myself. But also, as they were learning and trying to get how to paddle and direct their kayak, and they get caught up in the rapids and they go and beach themselves along into the sticks and branches along the river. But it was an easy way to go and get there close and pull them back out of a place that they got stuck. Are you giving others a way and an opportunity for you to be rescued? If we close ourselves off so much, it will be difficult to be rescued by our brothers and sisters around us. Commitment requires faith in hard times. Thinking a little bit about commitment. Commitment nowadays is something that many people feel that it's something that you keep as long as it makes sense for the here and now, and something that you cast aside when it conflicts with personal desires. What does commitment mean to you? I just looked up the meaning of commitment. It's an agreement or pledge, a promise to be loyal and to trust. I know for myself, I like to have backup plans for everything that I do. So when you get in trouble, you always have another way you could do things. But it's always having a backup plan a sign of lack of commitment and faith. We live in a time that is filled with mistrust. Lack of trust in government. Lack of trust in business dealings. Lack of trust in friendships. And because of all would you say that broken trust and commitment all around us, we tend to put up guards and self-protect so that we don't be taken across. To the men this morning, maybe you're making a business deal. And in that business deal, there's a lot of unknowns, especially if it's someone out of the brotherhood that you don't know as much. And you look at it and you question, will it be as good as it sounds. And you question it, but you need to make some kind of commitment. Because it sounds too good to be true, you keep the back door cracked open, as it were, as a way to get out of it if it proves to be a bust. You keep a way of escape. But by doing that, you are only partially committing. And by only partially committing, you will not stick it out through the hard times, but you will probably most likely dump and run. But that is in business life. What about our spiritual life? Do we leave the back door of our... Do we leave the back door cracked open in our spiritual life? Are you committed to being part of the body of Christ? Are you committed to being part of the brotherhood here at Hidden River? Do you say that if this doesn't work out, we'll just try something else? Go somewhere else. If we want to remain faithful through the hard times, we need to shut the door to our past and throw away the key. We must be committed no matter what comes our way. If we leave a way of escape and the times get hard, it's highly likely that we will take the way of escape. And if we allow, and it allows the door for Satan to find his way in. True commitment shines brightest in suffering, not in ease. In the church, there will be disappointments. There will be misunderstandings. There will be burdens to bear, conflicts to solve, and people to test our patience. But this is where the church, the body of Christ, becomes beautiful. Not because we agree on everything, but because we stay committed even when life gets hard. My fourth point is commitment means serving the body. I'm just going to read a couple verses here in 1 Corinthians 12 and the I. In verse 21, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more to the members of the body which seem more feeble and necessary. And those members of the body which you think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempted the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." If you are committed to Christ, you are committing to being part of the body of Christ and serving others in it. You all have a part to do. A life of Christ is not a life of self, but it's a life filled with service to God and others. A life of ease is a life A life of ease is a life that everyone serves you, and that is a dead and empty life. My last point here. Commitment blesses future generations. In our Sunday school lesson, we heard about Rahab and her choices that she made. Her choices did not only affect her, but it affected her whole family that was with her in her house. We don't know the future. You don't know your future. The advantage of seeing these Bible stories, we see the whole picture of what they were facing and the blessing that they have received in their life, in the future from their choices. But we don't see our choices, the future. We only have promises of what is to come. Ruth could not see the future, but God could. Her commitment led to Boaz. Boaz led to Obed. Obed led to Jesse. And Jesse led to David. And generations later, to Christ himself. And today we are still receiving the blessings of Ruth's choice, because we have Jesus came and died for every one of our sins. Your commitment to the body of Christ that you all have made will outlive you. Your children will see it. The new believers will feel it. Your example will strengthen the church long after you are gone. What you choose today matters, not only for you, but for generations to come. And the Lord, if the Lord tarries, choose wisely this day, because the future is depending upon you. I am not mine, I am his own. Bound in his body, never alone. Each heart, each hand, each voice I bring. For Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Here I stand, my life undone, all for him, the Holy One. Together we rise, together we stand, one body held in his loving hand. Let's come for the Lord in prayer.